This is the final whistle on Ocean FM. Sligo Leitrim will contest Friday's Under-14 Gaynor Cup final in Limerick. A penalty shootout victory today in the semis sets up an All-Ireland decider against South Belfast. We'll bring you a flavour of the Gaynor atmosphere shortly. The European Athletics Championships begin in the morning in Rome. Big local interest, a big Ireland team. Former Olympian Breach Conley will talk us through that. It's always nice to win an All-Ireland Gaeltacht title, but winning it in your centenary year is all the more special. Kilcar Bonaisteore Michael Hegarty is on the programme, and Sligo's Fittest Superstars has raised more than 100 grand for the Mercy College in Sligo this week. School principal Anne Gorby will tell us how they did it. And you're welcome to the programme. This is Austin O'Callaghan. Also coming up, Sligo Rovers defender J.R. Wilson will give his reaction to today's FAI Cup draw, which has paired Rovers with a familiar name for the club when it comes to cup ties, Cove. Only this time it's the Wanderers rather than the Ramblers variety. More on that later. But first, let's take you to Limerick, where the Sligo Leitrim girls under 14 soccer team today qualified for the final of the Gaynor Cup. This is the big national interleague soccer tournament of the year at this age grade. Now remember, Sligo Leitrim had won all three of their group matches earlier in the week. They got a bye into the last four, and in the semi-final today, they played the Midlands League. It was nil all at the end of normal time. There's no extra time in the Gaynor Cup, so straight away they went to penalty kicks. And in the shootout, Midlands League, their opponents, scored four and missed one. They went first, so it was 4-4, Sligo Leitrim having scored their four kicks, and it came down to the final kick to be taken by Ara Harps footballer and Cullagh Post-Primary School first-year student Aveen Doherty, who had scored the winner earlier this year for her school in an All-Ireland Schools Cup final. She was entrusted with the task of taking penalty kick number five.
And a different kind of pressure now. Sligo Leitrim's number three, Doherty, score. And they win.
So can she be the hero? Can she send her side through to tomorrow's final? She's looking to the referee. Now she's going. She shoots and she buries it. Probably the penalty of the day. A fine effort. Nothing at all Lynham could do about it.
No, superb penalty. And look how much it means to those girls out there. Absolutely mobbing each other. And Sligo Leitrim's run continues. Still unbeaten. And they're in the Gaynor Cup final.
They certainly are. 5-4, they won the penalty shootout. And after that celebration, we spoke to Tina Byrne, who's PRO of the Sligo Leitrim Youth Soccer Committee and, of course, host of the weekly Youth Soccer podcast on Sundays here on Ocean FM. She joined us pitchside at the host venue at the University of Limerick as the second Gaynor Cup semi-final between Dublin's DDSL and South Belfast was drawing to a close.
Just fantastic. I'm here now. I'm up on top of the hill watching a feast of soccer, and it's just fantastic. I must say it's been a really, really good week, and especially for our girls. But today's semi-final was quite nail-biting. There was very, very little between the teams. You know, Midlands last year punished us and knocked us out at the semi-final stage. So I think there was a little bit of a score to be settled this year. But neither team really shone. I think maybe we were marginally the better team, took a few more shots. But going to penalties, it's in the hands of the gods. And I think every candle around Limerick was lit for us to do well. And thankfully, we scored all five of our penalties, as you said. We had scores. We had Katie O'Brien took one, Ava Hallinan took one, Mona Lowe took one. And NASA Fox took one, and Aveen Doherty netted the winner. And great celebrations, because it's a great way to kind of get to the final of the cup. So it's the top competition. There's four sort of competitions. There's a cup, a bowl, a plate, and a trophy. And we're in the top tier in the final tomorrow. And I'm just watching the tail end of the other semi-final, and it's between South Belfast and DDSL, and South Belfast are very much on top in this game. So that looks like who our opponents will be tomorrow. But glorious weather this afternoon. Great to see people out playing football. That's the final whistle gone there. So South Belfast it is tomorrow in the final at 3 p.m. And we'll certainly have our work cut out, because they're very, very strong, and there's a good few goal scorers and good footballers in their squad, but we're here and that's all. We can just play what's in front of us.
Well, it's a great place to be in the All-Ireland final of the Guinness Cup. And 3 o'clock tomorrow, Tina.
Yes, that's right. There's lots of games on in the morning. There's all what they do in the competition is you play every day and you play for a place in the, you know, they do every place down from 1 to 28. So there's games going on. I'm looking here now. This game is after finishing. There's three other games going on beside us here. And it's a feast of football is what I would call it. So tomorrow at 3 o'clock, we will be lining out in the final against Belfast South. And we'll go from there. And with the help of God, we will win the competition. But certainly the girls were thrilled today to have gone through the week and have done so, so well. And again, I can't stress enough, it's a squad game. You bring your 20 players and everybody plays because it's quite intense. It's very tiring. Tournament football is unforgiving. You don't realise it at the time, but you're playing a lot of games and you're under pressure mentally as well. And I have to hand it to these girls. They're all under 14. And to watch them today with a crowd of people watching, stepping up, taking penalties, I don't think I'd have the courage myself, but they're unbelievable. They have fantastic resilience and they are so confident and stepping up to take penalty kicks. It's pretty daunting, but certainly today they were outstanding and all the kicks were well taken and scored. So that's how we are where we are.
Very good. So, bed early this evening, Tina. Your job now to have all the girls in bed by 7 p.m, please.
I'll tell you, I'll have a job. Now, they've been absolutely fantastic, but I think physically and mentally, they are quite tired. But there's great camaraderie. I'm telling you, for our match today, the whole Carlo, because we're housed quite close to the Carlo team, and Mayo, because a lot of our girls and the Mayo girls are in the Centre of Excellence in Castlebar, and the camaraderie, and they had made up songs about some of our players, Ava Hallen and Mona Lowe. They were singing all those songs, and there's been great, great friendships forged here. And they're all chatting away here. There's an ice cream van here. I've eaten my own body weight in ice cream all week. And, you know, it's a great, it's a lovely occasion to see all the, it's all about the players for me. And it's great to see them mingling and chatting and making friends and all that. So, again, yes, the football is a big part of it. But when it all boils down to down the road in years to come, people will remember the people they met here. They won't remember who beat who and who scored and by how many goals. It's about friendships and it's about making friends in the football family and, you know, progressing. And hopefully in years to come, all these girls will be still playing in some capacity. Some probably will play at a higher level. Others might play for a social, but again, it's a great foundation, and I have to give credit to the SFAI for a really well-organised tournament as well. And everybody has been so well-received, and we've really enjoyed our week here. So tomorrow is our last day. We travel back tomorrow evening after the final, and with the help of God, we will be going back with a rather large trophy in the boot of the bus. So we'll see how it goes from there.
I like your thinking, Tina. That's Tina Byrne at the Gaynor Cup in Limerick. The final is tomorrow at 3 o'clock. Sligo Leitrim there after their 5-4 penalty kick shootout victory over the Midlands League today. And they will play South Belfast, who beat Dublin's DDSL by 4-0 in the second semi-final. And the final on Friday is being live-streamed on the Schoolgirls FAI YouTube channel from 3 o'clock. Staying with soccer, the draws for the men's and women's FAI Cups were made today. Round 2 for the men and round 1 for the women. These are the stages when the League of Ireland clubs come into the reckoning. In the men's draw, 32 clubs were in the bowl and Sligo Rovers were paired at home to Cove Wanderers of the Munster Senior League, not Ramblers. Finn Harps will be away to Cork City. And the other Donegal club in the draw, FAI Junior Cup winners this season, Coghill Celtic, will be away to Sligo Rovers League opponents tomorrow night, Waterford FC. A couple of the other standout ties from that second round draw today, Bohemians were first out of the hat and they'll be at home to their big Dublin rivals, Shamrock Rovers. Derry City, FAI Cup winners in 2022, will play Stephen Kenny, St Patrick's Athletic, who are the holders. Kenny up against one of his former clubs there in round two of the Cup. And Bray Wanderers will have home advantage for the visit of the current Premier Division League leaders, Damien Duff's Shelburne. Those ties will be played on the weekend of the 21st of July. Earlier, Sligo Rovers defender J.R. Wilson gave us his reaction to that FAI Cup draw today.
Yeah, look, obviously it's good to get a home draw in a cup, but in my opinion, it doesn't really matter who you get because you're going to play the best teams. If you want to get a fan of the competition, and look, we'll have respect for the players that we're playing. You obviously have a bit of quality. There being a few teams, obviously, to get the ready air, so it still will be a difficult game, but it's nice to play at home.
I'm sure you've got a sense of the cup pedigree of Sligo Rovers down through the years. We like to think of ourselves as a cup team. What are your own FAI Cup memories?
I was actually at the last time Sligo won the cup, actually, in the Aviva last time. So, and obviously on my own, I was in the cup final there, not last year, the season before, which I won again, Thursday. Which didn't turn out well, but it was a very good experience playing there in the Aviva. So I was good, but obviously good experience, but the school wasn't great on the day.
Well, before that happens in July, you have the league to tend to. You're in Waterford this Friday night to try and build on the recent good run of form. What do you put the last few positive results down to, JR? Is there one thing you would single out?
Hard work, it's a bit cliche, but it's simple as that. I think the lads have just brought their face up and look down and just ran harder. It's just simple as that. We seem to be working a lot harder as a team, and that's that setting into the team and starting to play and stuff. So, look, we're a bit of a good form, obviously, but we're not getting carried away. Still, these results against a very good Shelburne team, and
and you'll be trying to curtail the league's leading goal scorer, a former Sligo Rovers player in Paul Rigamond.
Yeah, he's a top player. I didn't know so much until he came home, but he's obviously a top player, and he's very fit. He's a proper number 9, which is he's got the eye for goals, so it has to be on the lookout for him tomorrow for 90 minutes.
In a strange way, finally, JR, the fact that the team maybe felt their backs were to the wall in recent weeks when results weren't going their way, has that in a strange way brought the best out of you?
Yeah, absolutely. When you play against top teams in the country like Derry and Shelburne, they're on top of the league now, you know you're going to have to work at least twice as hard as playing, like you can nearly play against someone else because the level they're going to come up. And obviously, them guys be probably our best performances as a team. Came against Shelburne today. So, look, we got to maintain that. It can't be just a week up top. It's got to be consistent. That's what the team and the squad need to ask again now.
That's Sligo Rovers defender J.R. Wilson on a pretty dodgy phone line today ahead of tomorrow night's trip to Waterford. And a reminder, Waterford against Sligo Rovers in the SSE Airtricity Premier Division will be live in full here on Ocean FM from 7:45 tomorrow evening. One footnote to today's FAI Cup draw. It marked also the 50th anniversary of Finn Harp's sole FAI Cup success. That was back in 1974. And the Harps team captain that year, Jim Sheridan, made today's draw.
Believe it or not, even though it is 50 years ago, I remember every day of it, every hour of it, every minute of it. It's a big occasion for us. We were a rural club in the northwest of Ireland, and we weren't expected to win much, I can assure you. And probably the same could be said about today. We're not expected to win a lot. But having said that, we won that cup and we deserve to win it. So I'm very proud to be here representing the northwest and Finn Harps, really. And thinking about all those fellas that played with us on that day. And, of course, special mention to our manager, Patsy McGowan.
Finn Harps, FAI Cup winning captain from 74, Jim Sheridan, speaking today just before he drew the balls for the FAI Cup round two draw. Harps drawn away to Cork City in that round of last 32. In the women's FAI Cup draw today, Tommy Hewitt's Sligo Rovers got a home draw as well. They'll play Terenure Rangers from Dublin, last season's FAI Cup amateur winners, FAI Amateur Cup winners. Other fixtures, Galway United, the current Premier Division league leaders in the Women's League of Ireland, they'll play last season's beaten finalist Shelburne. The holders, Athlone Town, got a bye into the quarterfinals. 15 teams in the competition, so there were just 14 sides in the round one draw, and the seven winners will join Athlone in the quarterfinals. The first round ties for the Women's FAI Cup, they'll be played on the weekend of the 4th of August. When we come back, Kilcar's Bonnachthor Michael Hegarty would dearly love to be still playing football for his club these days, but he is doing the next best thing, managing the Towny club to an All-Ireland Gaeltacht title this week. That's next.
The Final Whistle with Austin O'Callaghan.
Och, Arish, Tommy Ara, Gobelin Corn, Gull, Arash, Godunangal, Imlena. Anish, O Capu me, Mar Ukter and Common Luklas Gale, Winship Corn, Shrei, Nashin, Rin, Ado, in Yednard Waha. Winship Corn, Anglo Celt. In Yidden Ardwaha. In Ye, Vron me on Corn Christy Ring, Er Connor Gartland, Sonamaniok, Ta Andol Kun Kin Janta, Ejir Connor Sonamaniok. In you, Win Neve Mwira on Corn Shosher, Agazanish, Ta Megola Vrona on Corn, Corn on Ara, Er Captain Lefernia, Kilcarha, Far Avalantanyam Shah, Ihanta, Er Fudna Chira, O Kilcarha, McHugh, Owen McHugh, so as Kush, War Ahish, Agaz Brodu, on Corn. Ara, Arvronu, our captain Kilcarha, Owen McGee.
Gahanawar Fad, Uchtaron Cumann Lúchlas Gael, Charlotte Burns presenting the All-Ireland Comórtas Pelna Gaeltacht title on Monday to Kilcar's senior team captain Owen McHugh after their 20 points to 1-8 win against Nevana of Galway. Down in Cork, it's Kilcar's seventh All-Ireland Senior Gaeltacht title. As Charlotte mentioned, Donegal's Naomh Mura won the junior title for Donegal on Monday as well. The Kilcar men are managed this year by their former player and county star, Michael Hegarty, who'd still to this day rather be playing, but managing his home club to an All-Ireland title is surely the next best thing.
Yeah, absolutely, Austin. I suppose that from the start of the year, well, that's been 100 years, people are putting an extra effort and trying to get things organised and making a big push, you know. And I suppose when we got down to the Gaeltachta, we're hosting it ourselves in 2026 now. So I suppose people wanted to learn a lot from it and take in what they were doing down in Cork, you know. So from us going down and being involved and other people putting in a lot of work behind the scenes, it was great to get down and enjoy the weekend as a team and as a club also, you know.
Before we talk about the actual weekend, which you're strictly football hat on, how do you use a competition like this at this stage of the year? I mean, is it preparation for what's coming down the track locally later in the year, or did you go down to Cork targeting the win?
No, well, listen, we did decide that we wanted to go down and try and win it when we were traveling this far. And I suppose with the way you players are now, there's always different players away from home on any given weekend, especially for the league. And we're always missing a few players here and there. So to have them all together, nearly bar the two county players, Mark, Ryan and Paddy, it was great to have them all together. And you just try and then get as much game time into as many boys as possible, depending on how far you go. And really worked out a treat. Like every day we used a maximum of five subs, and we got as much game time into the boys. And listen, you don't know from on a Saturday will you get through or a Sunday will you get through, but you just have to have a go at it, you know.
You had a quarter final against Ballingeary, which you negotiated, and then the semi final against Kilnamartra, the host club, which was streamed live and televised, looked like quite the match going to extra time.
Yeah, you know, it was a great spectacle, I suppose, for the competition and even for Kilimanjaro, the way that they had everything done there, you know, and they're a very strong club team. I think they got to All-Ireland under intermediate last year. And with them being the host, they were always going to put on a massive, massive performance and try and get over the line, as what any club would do when they're hosting it. So we knew that we would be really up against it on Sunday, you know. And listen, it was a great game. It went down to the wire. We thought we were gone maybe twice, and we managed to pull it back, and it was with extra time. And, you know, the conditions and the evening that was in it, you know, it was great, like, and great atmosphere, and we just came out on the right side of it, you know. And I know it was a big blow to Kilimanjaro, you know, for them being the host, but it was just a fabulous game, you know.
Well, it certainly looked like watching it online. And even when you got your goal, Kilimanjaro came back with a succession of points. Your guys, though, didn't seem to panic. They showed commendable composure when it looked at times the game might be tipping away from them.
Yeah, that's right. We went chasing again then, 2 points down, and we had no choice. But to be fair, no, the boys worked the scores, and they showed a lot of maturity. And I suppose we have a good few seasoned players that really stood up big time in that game and got the younger boys over the line, you know. And you need that with a bit of experience, you know. But and even when we did go a goal up, Kilimanjaro, they had a chance in the very, very last kick of the match to try and get a goal again. So it went down to the very last second.
And then on the Monday, the final against Nirvana of Galway, you scored 20 points in that decider, which is going to win most Gaelic football matches, I think it's safe to say. This is your Kilcar's seventh All-Ireland Comórtas Pán de Gaeltacht title, Michael. Have you been part of many of the previous six winning teams?
I would have been on two winning teams previous to that there. We would have been in, I think, four, maybe finals, or maybe five finals, and we lost. The last one would have been in Gaeltacht, would have beat us down in Dingle there in 2019. They got a point in the very, very last kick of the game and the extra time that won it for them. So margins and these games are so tight because, you know, teams have played two or three days in a row. There's a lot of fitness comes into it and cramp, and I suppose decision making and all that there plays its part. So it's just fine, fine lines, you know. But just at the weekend there, we just came out the right side of it, which was a massive boost for the club and all the players, you know, and really, really enjoyed it.
And you mentioned at the start that it was an important team bonding weekend. The social dynamic to the Pán de Gaeltacht shouldn't be underestimated as well. And that was a big thing for Kilcar, and certainly off the pitch as well. I mean, looking at the footage online and all the photographs the club has shared over the course of the weekend, it seemed just about everybody from Towny and surrounding areas was down in Cork at the weekend.
Yeah, that's right. Listen, we're very fortunate from Kilcar and the support that we have, and just people are just mad about the football and whatnot. And no matter if we have a good team or a bad team, they're expecting us to win regardless, and that just goes with it, you know. But listen, they went away for the weekend. The people enjoyed it, and listen, it was just great, you know, to belong with the supporters and the players, and just enjoy the whole thing, because sometimes different years go by and people don't get the chance to enjoy different events because there's a lot of time put into training and getting things organised and whatnot. So it's great that you're able to enjoy it and take it all in, you know.
And any truth in the rumour, finally, Michael, that you became the team's official chef at the Gaeltacht weekend?
I had two very good people rooming with me there, so I think that it'll be very hard to overtake Kieran Cannon there and Ross on making breakfast there in the morning. They were which was definitely something that they're used to doing anyway.
Eggs over easy. That's a Kilcar senior team Bonisdore and part-time team cook Michael Hegarty after the Towny club's All-Ireland Gaeltacht success in Cork this week. And reminder, they're back to the bread and butter this Saturday as Kilcar go to Gaelic Park in Bundoran to take on Reltnamara in Division 1 of the Brian McCormack Sports Senior Football League. That's at 6 p.m. Well, next to Rome, where the 2024 European Athletics Championships begin in the morning. Four local athletes in a big Ireland team for the Euros over the next 6 days. The championships run until next Wednesday, the 12th. North Sligo's Chris O'Donnell, Sligo SC's Lauren Cadden, they're both on the Ireland team. And so are Tyr Connell SC's 400 metres sprint hurdler Kelly McGrory and Finn Valley Athletic Club's Mark English, who goes in the heats of the men's 800 metres in the morning. Well, Kinlaw's Breach Conley is a former Irish Olympic marathon runner, and she joined me in studio to preview the European Championships and what is surely the biggest Ireland team sent to the Euros. 48 athletes this time around.
I can't remember one in recent years being as big and being as formidable as well. I think, you know, it's not just the numbers, it's the strength of the numbers that makes it such an exciting team.
Yeah, they're not being put in here for the hell of it. I'm sure there's experience is the main objective for some of the younger members of the squad, and we'll come to that in just a moment. But it is a reflection of what's happening in middle distance and sprint running in particular in this country.
Yeah, 100%. A reflection on so many things. I think investment, brilliant coaching, you know, like I suppose we'll talk about it, but even locally, Gerard O'Donnell, like he would be instrumental from Carrick AC in what is happening in the mix 4x4 and 400. It's a whole load of factors. Obviously the athletes themselves, but the tides are rising in a load of, I think, seeing and believing across loads of different disciplines as well.
So can you give us a quick rundown? You know, I won't ask you to go through all 48 because we'd be here, we've got a match at 4 o'clock to do. But I mean, just pick out some of the names that we'd expect to be there and maybe just give us a sense of the local interest in this Ireland team, because it is significant from a Sligo, Leitrim, Donegal point of view.
Yeah. So I suppose locally we'll start there because I always think it's great to have that and hopefully people will tune in to see their athletes. So from Sligo AC, Lauren Cadden. So Lauren will go in the 4x400. Lauren ran a PB last night, a massive PB in Salamanca.
Did she?
Yeah, 52.9.
Wow.
So yeah, and I think what's happening is so exciting among the ladies 4x4. They are just up in their game. Sophie Becker has started running 51s consistently. Charlene Maudsley got her automatic qualifying time for the Olympics. So they're really driving each other on, you know, and I think there's a sense of belief among this. There's a collection of maybe 6 or 8 girls now who can all make these teams, and they all want to be vying, obviously, for the first team. So Lauren will be a counter or a runner in Rome. Then we have, obviously, Mark English, for the Letterkenny man, running for Finn Valley.
Who ran his quickest 800 of the season during the week.
Yes.
In finishing fourth, 1:44.95, which is very close to the Olympic A standard.
Yeah. It's perfect. It's just perfect. It's where I think any athlete would want to be. Job done. Go to the Europeans. Mark knows the lay of the land. He's just one of our best, along with Ciara McGeehan. They are just thoroughbred championship racers. Getting in. And he came home with a medal the last time. And he's come home. He has so many European medals now. So he's definitely a very exciting prospect. And then we have Kelly McCrory again, the ladies 4x4, Kelly from Tyr Connell AC, another girl, I think, just found form very recently because she would have missed out on actually the qualifying event in the Bahamas. So great to see her going. And then Christopher O'Donnell, who travelled with the team to the Bahamas, but he again has found his own form. So he's competing individually and on the mix 4x4. And then a shout out to their coaches, Gerard O'Donnell and Dermot McDermott. Like Dermot, I know personally, puts in huge work in this area.
Yeah.
Yeah, we would be lost without him. I think these men are crucial. So yeah,
I was WhatsApped a picture of Dermot McDermott today. He was in Tullamore yesterday at the Irish Schools track and field finals. I think he was helping the Summerhill College senior boys 4x400 metres relay squad behind the scenes. They won silver in a high quality final yesterday, and there's Dermot with them, and he'll be cock-a-hoop to hear that another 400 metres runner, Lauren Cadden, runs a PB then in Salamanca a few hours later.
Yeah. And it's just the energy, you know, the investment by people like him, the energy that it takes, you know, the thought going into their training. And that's why there's people going to the Europeans. these athletes wouldn't be going without these people, you know, behind them in their corner and doing kind of the groundwork in terms of their training plans.
Yeah, just a word on Kelly McGrory as well. You mentioned she's part of the relay squad for Rome. She probably should be going as an individual runner too. I know I interviewed her back in January at the Donegal Sports Star Awards and I said, what's the big thing for you this year? And straight away, well, she said, you know, she's looking at the Olympics, but the Europeans was her next big thing she was targeting.
Yes, yeah. And she was brilliant last year, actually, in Budapest.
Yeah.
She came out there because I was in Budapest and she handled everything about the racing. You know, she was very professional. She didn't seem to get overcome with nerves. And yeah, it's unfortunate. I believe, yeah, she would have qualified via ranking to compete individually. And that would have been brilliant for Kelly. Do you know, even like every race counts, the experience of it, you know, it all counts. Yeah. So it's a pity that has happened.
Just for younger athletes in the Northwest region, Breach, when they're seeing people from their own clubs or their own region qualifying for and excelling at these major championships, what might the ripple effect of that be in your mind as a runner yourself?
Yeah, well, I was never limited, never ever, by being from Kinloch or by being from, I don't think that's a limiting factor at all. Okay. I just think we all, you know, if it's in you, it's in you. It's definitely encouraging, you know, so I think, yeah, endurance running is a little bit different. Everybody can do it. I think in terms of the sprint events, you know, it is a little bit more niche. You need to be in the right area, maybe with the right coaching and facilities. It takes a little bit more, but it's so encouraging. There's the why not is the question I think people can be asking themselves, because we are, you know, absolutely, we are pitching with the best of them.
Okay, talk to me about, and I'm not going to get carried away here, but talk to me about potential medal prospects for Ireland in Rome next week. Rashida Adeleke is on the team. She's going in the 400. She's in the relay. She is one of the marquee names in this Ireland team, but she's not the only one.
No, and I am going to get carried away. I think we have
okay, you have got permission. I have to stay balanced and neutral. Yes. You can fire ahead.
I think we have so much potential. I guess if we look at the last Europeans, we came home with two medals. So we had Ciara McGeehan, silver in the 15, and Mark English, bronze in the 8. Both athletes coming into great form. Ciara McGeehan opened with an 800 national record in the UK 2 weeks ago, and she followed it up herself and Sarah Healy with a 1-2 midweek in, where was that, Ostrava. So there's two girls, you know, wine, and like Sarah Healy as well.
There's two genuine Ireland women's contenders in the 1500 metres, which you would feel historically it was such a hot event. Yeah. But here, there, you know, two of the names people will be looking at will be Irish names.
Yeah, definitely. And then I think even when you look at the, like Ciara's right up there, I think she's ranked, you know, she's top four in Europe. So that would be a definite exciting kind of one to look at. Then Mark English, again, Mark is just brilliant in championships. He, you know, if you were to put your money on somebody, it would be Mark.
Yeah, so just to remind people, Mark English is a qualified doctor, but he's put his medical career on hold temporarily while he's concentrating on, well, qualifying for what I suppose we would expect would be his final Olympics, and he's in the quota in theory, all going well. He'll be in Paris, and he's clearly running well. I actually watched back his bronze medal run at the last Euros, and he was on the inside, and you could hear the commentator saying, English has got to be careful, he's got to be boxed in, but he was behind the guy who won gold, but he stayed with them, and that created the opening. It was a run of immense experience that he knew where to be in the last 300 metres to create the speed, and it wasn't the fluky bronze medal.
Yeah.
He could have won silver, but it was a very impressive bronze medal run by Mark.
It really was. I was there actually at that race. But yeah, he just raced really savvy, you know, and he was racing for a medal. Like he was just absolutely racing for a medal. So, and I do think that 1:44 last week, that's all he needed. I think going into championships, I think it's really important. Like Ciara, you either go in with a win, a national record. You know, Sarah Lavin, they've opened up with their quickest times ever. Mark is now, you know, right there and thereabouts. So
you mentioned Sarah Lavin, the hurdler, sprint hurdler. She has got a chance too, hasn't she?
I think so. Yeah, I do think so. And Sarah thinks so. Like, it doesn't matter what we think. I think when athletes think, okay, because it's so marginal within the sprint hurdles as well. Dervla Rourke has had immense, you know, success at these events. And I guess Sarah has this national record now. So for sure, Sarah. Rashida Adeleke, of course, we're pinning everything on Rashida.
Is there a danger we're putting too much pressure on this girl?
Yeah.
Or
There is. I suppose there is. Well, is there a danger?
Or is it maybe the fact she, that's, that it, helps her being in America? She's away from the Sonia O'Sullivan-esque media buzz here at home. She's not getting infected by that. Do you know what I mean?
Yes, that's true. I think there probably is a danger, but also she's mature beyond her years. Like any articles you would read about her, because she's in a protected environment, actually. I think being in the States, she seems to be a great decision maker, you know, in terms of choosing her agent. It wasn't just, I'll take who they've got. You know, she put time and thought into it. Are we pinning too much on her? Absolutely not. Because look how brilliant she is. Like Bahamas, you know, she split the fastest of all of the women in the
And fourth. The reason Breege is mentioning the Bahamas, for those of you not just a passing interest in athletics, the World Relay Championships were held, the Relay Athletics Finals were held there recently, and Ireland qualifying for both the women's and men's 4x400 metres relay teams. Lauren Cadden, part of the women's squad, and Chris O'Donnell, sorry, the mixed relay, I should say. Chris O'Donnell, part of the mixed relay 4x400. So she ran in that. We saw what she can do there across both squads, the mixed and the women's.
Yes, yeah. So,
You mentioned that Lauren Cadden will run at the Euros.
Well, all going well.
So she rather than being a reserve, potentially.
She's not listed as a travelling reserve, so she's listed as, you know, one of the competitors. And I think that performance last night as well would bode really well for her. So, we'd be hoping to see. And these are real medal opportunities, like the mixed 4x4. Now, I know you and I talked about the mixed 4x4. What was that? How many years ago? Was that 6 years ago? Was that Doha? Yeah. And
What's happened since then?
Yeah. And I think I would have been, you know, I was like, oh, there's so many strong teams in there for them to compete against.
Chris O'Donnell probably felt hard done by. He wasn't the starter in the Bahamas. I'm guessing knowing his own competitive nature, but it looks like he's hitting form now at the right time.
Yeah, I'm glad for Chris. I don't know what the decision around that was. Chris has been our national champion for how many?
Four of the last five, isn't it? Yeah.
So I don't know how they select. I guess maybe it is based on latest races, but anyway, Chris has done what he needed to do. He ran a race and he is on the first team now, and he's got an individual opportunity as well.
I'm going to ask you about one of your dark horses. You always mention for Ireland at a lot of championships, because I know you're a fan of his running, and that's Andrew Coscarin, who goes in the 1500 for the men, is that right?
15 for the men. So again, the hottest event out there, I think, at the minute. Now, in terms of the GB guys, so I guess Josh Kerr, you know, there's that whole head-to-head going on with himself and Ingebrigtsen. So Ingebrigtsen looked unstoppable midweek again in the Oslo Diamond League, dived across the line against Chariot. So, but Andrew ran 3:30. So that's, I think, maybe his second quickest. So, yeah, why not? I don't know. Like, that was a fantastic race. So, yeah, and he's got great confidence. He's maturing again into, you know, he's a professional athlete now. So, yeah. And the Europeans is, this is where we can show our real strength, you know, and build on it then for Paris.
Breege Connolly on the European Athletics Championships, which begin in the morning in Rome. Ciara McGeehan and Sarah Healy among the early starters, and so too in the first session tomorrow morning. Donegal's Mark English, he goes in round one of the men's 800 metres. His heat is at 20 past 11 in the morning, Irish time. Tomorrow night, Chris O'Donnell of North Sligo goes in the 4x400 metres mixed relay final. That's at 20 past 9 Irish time tomorrow night. He'll then be on the track again on Saturday morning, round one of the men's individual 400 metres. His heat is due to start at 10:45 on Saturday morning. And if he gets through round one, Mark English is back on the track on Saturday for the next stage of the men's 800 metres. The live coverage, you'll find it on RTE2 television. They begin their live coverage tomorrow morning from 9 a.m. Finally tonight, and actually one clarification to our chat there with Breege Connolly. Kelly McGrory goes in the, she's part of the women's 4x400 metres relay squad. Since that interview with Breege was recorded, Kelly has been added to the individual women's 400 metres hurdle. So she runs for Ireland in the individual 400 metres hurdles at the Euros in Rome over the coming days. Good luck to the Ciara Connolly AC athlete. Finally tonight, to the Mercy College in Sligo, which is trying to build a new sports astro pitch facility for the school and local community. And to get the ball rolling on that it organised the inaugural Sligo Fittest Superstars competition this week under the guidance of Waterford senior hurling manager Davy Fitzgerald. The event is based on the popular television series Ireland's Fittest Families, which Davy has been a key part of. 40 teams took part in the Sligo edition, each raising money for the Mercy College AstroPitch project. And more than 100 grand has come in for this fundraiser. And a terrific day had by all last Monday. A Leitrim quartet of athletes led by dual football star Muireann Devaney won the overall prize for LMS Express on the Finnisglen Road in Sligo, but lots of other teams produced excitement and crack, none more so than the Runaway Brides. We'll hear from them shortly, provided we can catch up with them. But first to the drivers of Sligo's Fittest Superstars, the staff of the Mercy College, led by their school principal, Anne Gorby.
It's been absolutely incredible. It's just the energy, the enthusiasm, the positivity that is about, you know, people are just buzzing. It's just been fantastic. We started off with a bit of rain this morning, but it dried up and it's just been incredible. There are so many kids' activities and just Davy and his team are playing an absolute blinder. So it's just fantastic.
Well, we're looking here beside the main circuit area. Davy Fitzgerald is over there, looks like he's managing in the Munster Hurling Championship. There's a lovely atmosphere around the school ground.
Yeah, it's just such a lovely atmosphere, and I think there's something for everybody, and just, I mean, they're doing their very best to get everybody through the course. And I think that's what's important. It's just, this is not about professionalism, this is about fun and crack and taking part.
When you began this project, could you have foreseen it would turn into something like this?
Absolutely not. I mean, I knew from, you know, seeing one of his events previously that it was going to be very good. But in terms of, I mean, it's been incredible. We've 107,000 in before the day started at all. So, you know, we're on course to make in the region of 100,000 for AstroPitch. It's absolutely incredible. Really, really incredible. But that's thanks to the huge support from the Sligo community, you know, the business organisations, the clubs, and of course the school itself. The staff, students and parents have been incredible. So it's been very much a community effort.
And remind us what all this money is for.
We are going to put an AstroPitch here in Mercy College, hopefully sooner rather than later. So hopefully maybe this time next year we might have, you know, the parts of the project. It could be on a phased basis, but we'd love to see the project, you know, starting sooner rather than later.
Well, Sligo Fittest Superstars has given it the perfect start, this project.
Absolutely. I mean, we would have been very happy with, you know, we set a target, and it's certainly, we've really, really surpassed our target. So that in itself is brilliant. And as we said, if we never made anything, the energy this day has created has been fantastic.
One final question. How competitive has this competition got? And I know some of your staff are taking part, local sports personalities from around the region. Has it got fairly competitive out there?
There are teams who are in this to win. I mean, one of the times are just over 5 minutes. I mean, I took part myself, and I'm a real amateur. So it's so many teams here today are in it just to literally to do it and achieve it. And, they, you know, to get on top of that ramp is just, you just feel great. So it's, you know, there are some teams, and you can see the times from the athletics clubs or the GAA clubs, but there's so many teams are just in this to complete it and raise money for a great cause.
Right, let's have a talk with the Runaway Brides. I'm going to get you to give me your names, first of all.
Megan Friel.
Danielle Phelan.
Linda Dolan, the bride.
Pat Lumbert from St. Anne's.
The divine intervention. We'll talk to the bride first, Linda. Yes. That looked great crack, if painful crack.
It was so much fun. Absolutely brilliant. Like, it's one of those things on your bucket list that we've ticked off now. And it was so good to do it with friends and Father Pat and all the support behind us. Absolutely amazing.
Tell me about your bridal party here. You've assembled for Sligo's Fittest Superstars.
So I have Megan Friel here, a fellow home ec teacher, my best friend from home, and also my bridesmaid on the day, Danielle Connolly. Then we have the star of the show, Father Pat. Isn't that right, Father Pat?
You're the star of the show.
No. You're some man. Yeah, so absolutely delighted. We're over the finish line. I just can't find my groom. I don't know where he is. He's probably run off. It's not the runaway. It's not the runaway bride. It's the runaway groom.
Yeah. I thought he'd be here at the finishing line to welcome you. I'm disappointed. We'll have to rethink.
Oh, you'll get a slap on the wrist later.
Father Pat Lombard, your brethren in St Anne's will know you in Sligo. What was God calling to you that you had to do Sligo's fittest superstars this week?
Well, when Anne Garby from the Mercy College asked me, I couldn't really say no. So she is powerful. Persuasive powers, yeah. So I just had to go with it, and it's a good cause. So you know, I think it would be wonderful to have the AstroTurf here for the future generations of girls, yeah, here in the college. And I'm delighted to be part of it today, as is the whole community of Sligo. Everyone is here, and everyone's been sponsoring, and everyone's been helping. So it's fantastic.
And your staff here at the Mercy College, yes, can you believe the response there's been?
Absolutely amazing, and the work that's gone into it. Anne Garby, I'm telling you, she has been at the helm from the start, and she was absolutely amazing. Only for her, this wouldn't have gone ahead, and we had a great crowd of staff behind us and a great committee. Brilliant.
You'll have to make this an annual event, will you, girls?
Yeah, I think so. It's been a huge success, and just like Davy and his team were amazing the whole way throughout that. Like, only for them, we would not have got through that. So, and obviously the support here today has been amazing. So. And amazing, yeah, unreal.
We will let you catch your breaths back.
Thank you.
Well done today. Well done, the runaway brides.
Okay, cheery, awesome.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
The runaway brides, one of the competing teams of Sligo Fittest Superstars. Well done to Murren Devaney, Ryan Gilligan, Martin Rooney and Dunica Devaney, who were the overall winners for LMS Express. A reminder, finally, that this programme is available as a podcast each week on oceanfm.ie or wherever you get your podcasts. Simply search for Ocean FM Sport or The Final Whistle to find it. We're back with you next week. Same time, same place.